anticlimax. We'll have another care time at the end. How about a little care time in the yard? As Marvin was speaking about services increase, fitting in with the topic of what we're doing this evening, the dedication of all things unto Krishna, that's the theme this evening. When I was GBC chairman, I thought, what's a chairman supposed to do? You're chairman of the entire International Society for Krishna Consciousness. What do you do? Besides, like, field problems, what a chairman is supposed to lead. So I thought, let me look around the planet and see, like, what's really important and pay some attention. Something that's really important, not just like react, but lead. So as I'm looking around the globe and I thought, China, because our GBC situation was that Kamal Krishna Maharaj was the GBC that started China, but he's left the world, and then assisting him was Giridhari Swami, and his health is so bad he can't. He hasn't been to China in 6 years. And there's one GBC for China, that's Chandrasekhar Prabhu, who isn't Chinese, and he got kicked out of the country, so he can't go to China. So there's one fourth of the world's population that doesn't have any GBC member. You think you don't get visited by your GBC so much. Think about the whole one quarter of the world's population in China. So I thought, let me pay a visit to China and tell the people, you're important. That's all I went there for. But when I saw what a huge potential, even with the government being what it is, the potential is huge. So it shouldn't be repeated when it's like, where are the places that I go? But some place that I'm going now, I just expanded my service and contracted service elsewhere to spend time in China because it's so important. And on the theme of this evening, utilizing everything in Krishna's service, how about one quarter of the world's population? Or that's if you happen to be a sannyasi and you can just like do what you want to do, or at least do what's important. I don't know. I don't do what I want to do. I do what I understand is important. And for a householder, this is, you know, as we were driving along the road and I was wondering, what's this place going to look like? And when I saw this huge property, I thought, is that it? So, yeah, that's it. You come inside and huge space. And even, you know, the speaker that we're hearing the nice care tent on, it's up on top of this big pile of whatever that stuff is, those boxes of stuff over there. It's utilizing everything in Krishna service. Why not? Provided we're using it in Krishna service. So the dedication of a life of sannyas and the dedication of the life of a householder look different. They should look different. But the principle that's driving both of them should be the same, and it is the same. When visiting Guyana this time, I was supposed to speak on a certain theme, but what's that going to do? Oh, the wind. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukam Vairagya. That's the verse. I was supposed to speak on verses from Rupa Goswami, from Nectar of Instruction. The six principles that enhance bhakti and six principles that destroy bhakti, because it was all in a very nice PowerPoint, but then the motherboard in my computer decided to not work. So I can't even boot my computer now. Sorry. But Rupa Goswami's teaching perfectly fits in, this instruction from Rupa Goswami, how we're to be rightly situated above possessiveness, is the language that Prabhupada has translated. So there are two verses, and I'm going to recite them and explain them a little bit, and teach you a little bit of Rupa Goswami, the language that he uses to teach what we're doing here. Anasaptasya Dishayan Yataham Upayunjitaha Nirbanda Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairagyam Uchate. Even sounds nice, and it's very nice too. Then the other verse, Prapanchakataya Bhutya Hari Sambandha Vasana Mumukshubi Prityago Vairagyam Palgo Katyate. Rupa Goswami is explaining in the first verse what Lord Chaitanya's teaching is about renunciation. And this, my dear devotees, is renunciation. This building and the dedication of this building to Krishna service, that's renunciation. So here's what Rupa Goswami says. Anasaktasya Vishayan. There's nine stages in bhakti. It starts with Shraddha and ends in Prema. Those of you that have studied Prabhupada's writings, you know that. From Shraddha to Prema. From preliminary faith up to love of God. And one of the stages in that is Asakti. Asakti means attachment. And there's two kinds of spiritual attachment. One is being attached to the process of devotional service. And a more mature stage is being attached to the object of devotion, Krishna. The word of Rupa Goswami is anasaktasya, without attachment. No attachment to Vishayan. And what does Vishayan mean? Vishayan means sense gratification. There's a verse in Bhagavad Gita, Vishaya Vinivartante Niraharashadehinam. What's the rest? Rasavarjam Rasopyasya Pram Drishranavartate. So we know the Pram Drishra very much, very well. It's the higher taste. We have this higher taste cookbook. That's where that higher taste comes from, that phrase, from that verse. In that verse of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's saying, just keep it simple in English, he's saying, persons who try to give up vishaya, sense gratification, but in their mind is still dwelling on that sense gratification. That's pretense. It's incomplete. But it's complete when you experience a higher taste, and when you're experiencing a higher taste, there's no attraction. It's gone. The attraction for the lower taste. You may recognize that it's there, but you don't pay any attention to it. When you're a small child, sometimes there's big children too, they like to play. So there's a little tricycle and the child is out playing with their tricycle all day long. Then an adult comes along and they see the tricycle, they can sit on the tricycle and ride it for a little bit. But how long can they do it for? Because you have a higher taste. because of higher taste, then that which is the lesser taste is easily ignored. It's insignificant. Insignificant. Literally insignificant. Just like the light from a firefly. The Bhagavatam gives the example of a glowworm, but I've never seen a glowworm. Do you have glowworms here in Guyana? You have fireflies, right? Fireflies. So, what does a firefly like look like during the daytime? You can't even tell where it is because the light of the sun is so strong. Whatever light is coming from the firefly, it's insignificant. But at night, I was visiting in Italy one time, and we were visiting in Villa Vrindavan, very nice place. And they were taking us to see, it used to be a vineyard. Everywhere they were growing grapes to make wine. So the devotees pulled out all the grapes and they just made it pasture grounds. And now they had, cow protection at Villa Vrindavan. Nice thing to do at Villa Vrindavan. And they took us down the bottom of the hill to see, the whole property. We got down to the bottom of the hill. There was this huge bull. I mean, he was big. He was as big as that stack over there. This guy was big, and his horns were big. And he was mad. He was like snorting, and I was Aristosura. This guy's really too much. And by the time we went through all of that, it was dark. So we were walking back up to the Villa Vrindavan, and we walked to this patch of fireflies. And they were going zoom, 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 zoom. It was really like fireworks. It was really mesmerizing. And they weren't bumping into each other. I don't know, they have radar or something, whatever that is. It was like mystical. And then I was thinking of this verse from the Bhagavatam that says, in the presence of the light of the sun, what's the significance of the light from a firefly? Or even a bunch of fireflies? Insignificant. Literally insignificant. And same, when there's a higher taste, when one has spiritual happiness, the attraction for sense gratification, it's insignificant. Like the firefly during the daytime. It's insignificant. Perhaps there's some light from the firefly at night, I don't know. But insignificant. So, Rupa Goswami is teaching, anasaptasya vishayan, without any attachment for sense, without even the contemplation of the thought of sense gratification. Yartaham upayunjitaha nirbanda Krishna sambande. So we know what sambanda means. Sambanda gyan, the knowledge of establishing one's relationship with Krishna, acting in one's relationship with Krishna. That's how we commonly use the word sambanda in our ISKCON description of things. So Krishna sambandha means that which has relationship with Krishna. Nirbandha Krishna sambandhe. Nir, it means not. Without having attachment to that which is in relation to Krishna, but using that which is in relation to Krishna in service to Krishna. Yuktam vairagya uchate. So we often just refer to that nice verse just with the Yukta Vairagya principle that was taught by Lord Chaitanya. So that's the Yukta Vairagya principle. That which is in relation to Krishna, you use it in the service of Krishna, very important, without any attachment for sense gratification, not even the thought of sense gratification. Gross or subtle. subtle is, wow, I now own this big property, it's mine. That's subtle. And then what you do with the property, that's not so subtle. So gross or subtle, without the consideration that it's for sense gratification. Not at all. What replaces the idea of sense gratification? It's meant for the service of Krishna. How can this nice property be used for the service of Krishna? I remember when this was an idea. Where's Harish? Is he here? Just stepped out. I remember having discussions when it was an idea. Remember Paramatma? And, well, here's the idea. More than an idea, it's manifest. So it's been years and years of planning how to have a facility that can be used in Krishna service and do different things. Something that's going to maintain it, that's like apparently the warehousing of some stuff, so that the purpose for Krishna can be utilized. My understanding of the purpose for Krishna that's being utilized is for education. Is this the place? On the way over here, I was told this is the place where Anuttama came and gave his seminar on leadership. Is it down here or up there? Okay. So this is to cover for that. This is to take care of the cost of that. Is that the idea? Okay. Excuse my ignorance, but... So, serve Krishna. Serve Krishna in such a way that many devotees can have some engagement and many devotees can have some education and use it all for Krishna. The other verse is Prapancha Kataya Bhudya Hari Sambhando Vastuna. Vastuna is a nice word. Vastu means stuff, like things, like, you know, whatever. There's some vastu, and there's some vastuna, and a whole bunch of, you know, piles of sand and cement. It's vastu, vastuna. So, hari sambandho vastuna. Those things, stuff, things that have relationship with Krishna, but you give them up. Parityajya. Prapancha kataya bhudya hari sambandhu vasuna mumukshubhi, thinking that there's liberation for one who gives things up. Pangu vairagyam katyate. If that is said to be false renunciation, pagu, false renunciation, or sometimes Prabhupada calls it monkey renunciation. Monkey renunciation because monkeys are also very renounced. They don't wear any clothes. They don't have any home. They just live in the forest. Very renounced. So people who similarly renounce things that are in relation to Hari and give them up. That's incomplete renunciation or pogo vairagya. Complete renunciation or rightly situated above possessiveness, is how Prabhupada is translated, is that which is in relation to Krishna, is used in service to Krishna. You know this example, common example that Prabhupada used. You're walking along the street and you see somebody's wallet. So there's three things. Nobody's looking. There's you have these Guyanese dollars. There's hundreds of thousands of Guyanese dollars just like sticking out of the wallet. Nobody's looking. Into your pocket, it's yours. Or you keep walking because it doesn't belong to you. Or you find out who the wallet belongs to and you turn it to the owner. I was passing through LaGuardia Airport one time, coming off of a flight and going to get my bag, and I saw somebody's big fat wallet with all their credit cards and you name it. So it was underneath the departure lounge seats. So I went over and I picked it up and I took it to the check-in, not the check-in counter, the desk where the stewardesses, you know, give you your boarding pass and stuff. Said, here, I just found this on the floor. And there were two of them, and they looked at me, looked at each other and said, people never do this. What do you... They never turn in lost and found wallets. What are you doing? Said, you know, can you see who it belongs to? Make sure you don't divide it up between the two of you. And ever since then, I was thinking, I shouldn't have given it to them. I should have given it back to the owner. But it's like, you know, it was lost and found. Thinking specifically, this is Prabhupada's instruction. It should go back to the owner. That's, it's not just honest, it's the right thing to do. But ultimately, who is the owner of everything? Krishna is the owner of everything. And the proof of that is, whatever we think is ours, wait a while, and it's taken from us. Either by taxes or by some circumstance of life or ultimately by death, whatever we have, it's taken from us. And we enter the world owning nothing and we leave the world owning nothing. And in between, we're busy trying to make things ours. Or give it up. And both ways are false. The right, being rightly situated above possessiveness is the dedication of all things to Krishna. And that's what we're doing. We're gathering together, having a yajna, having kirtan, and contemplating the wonderful act of dedicating some facility that Krishna has provided to Krishna's service. And there's no difference, in principle, there's no difference between that activity for a householder and a sannyasi that travels and preaches and goes to China and comes to Guyana and goes all over the place. It's whatever facility Krishna has given, it is to be dedicated to Krishna's service. It's that principle of dedication of things unto Krishna's service that is the principle of renunciation. Ashram specific, it wouldn't be appropriate that if I somehow got together the assets and made this my place, it wouldn't be appropriate for the Grahastha ashram. And for a Grahastha to go traveling all over the place and not taking care of his family like I do, because I don't have a family, but if a Grahastha were to do that, that would be not appropriate renunciation. But ashram specific, the principle of dedication of whatever the resource that Krishna has placed at your disposal and you use it fully in Krishna's service. That's the teaching of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by that principle of dedication unto Krishna, you connect with Krishna. Again, that linking with Krishna, the principle of doing so in devotion for Krishna. Because if it's not with devotion for Krishna, guaranteed, I'll say it twice, guaranteed, there'll be attachment. There'll be a notion somewhere along the way of sense gratification, gross or subtle. So there's risk in having some asset like this, because one can easily fall prey to sense gratification, thinking how I can be the enjoyer. But on the other hand, there's risk in not dedicating things to Krishna and trying to be without any possessions. Or same for a sannyasi. There's risk in traveling all over the place, going in all different circumstances of life, in all different places and corners of the world, in order to give Krishna consciousness to others. There's big risk. But there's also risk if you just sit in a cave somewhere and try to be in solitude and try to practice nirjan bhajan. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur specifically condemned that kind of behavior. Rather, the form of renunciation that he was exacting from his followers and saints and Srila Prabhupada is the renunciation of dedicating our whatever capacity we have to giving Krishna conscious association to others, particularly for the sannyasa ashram. So again, ashram specific dedication of all things at our disposal for Krishna service. And this is a very wonderful example of both the practical facility and the persons who are engaging the facility. Years of cultivation and proper guidance in Krishna consciousness by the elder members of the Gayanese Yatra to help these devotees come to the stage of having such a nice idea and making such a nice idea manifest. I'd like to speak a little bit about that other building. The other part of this purpose is the education part. That's a big topic, education. I'm taking a breath for like, you know, what do you begin with that topic? Because it's so important. I'll share this with you just from the GBC perspective. We've been having, for the last 5-6 years, we added an extra GBC meeting. And that extra GBC meeting is not for business, it's for one purpose only, planning our future. Like, where do we want to be? The realization was, some of our senior-most members are no longer with us. Either their health is such that they can't be with us, or they left their body. And for those of us that are Prabhupada disciples that are still remaining in active service on this planet, what do you want to do with the rest of our lives to leave behind us a legacy that the next generation thinks, wow, I'm really glad that they took care of this, because it's given us a lot of opportunity to spread Krishna consciousness and keep Prabhupada's movement intact. So what should we do today to build that for the future? What should we leave behind us by the work that we're doing today for building the better future? So it's called strategic planning. So fast forward over 5-6 years, and we have this whole, I won't go into too much detail, but it's the term that we've used is executive strategies, and it's for making sure that good decisions that are made get executed, get carried out. Because it's very frustrating when lots of careful thought is put into something and a nice plan is made, and then we leave our meeting and go back and do all of our service and don't put any of that into action. You know what I mean? You make a good plan that doesn't get carried out. And we have lots of well thought out things that didn't get carried out. Look at the GBC, we went through and looked at the GBC resolutions, and lots of good thought and not a lot of implementation. So we started this thing called executive strategy. Someone, an executive director, in different areas, seeing to compliance with things that need to get done. And something that was intrinsic to each one of those, there were 13 of them, was education. So Shesha Prabhu, many of you know Shesha Prabhu because he was acting in GBC, as GBC here for some time. He got in front of the entire GBC and said, instead of saying like education is fundamental to all of the other things that the executive director is going to look at, I'm saying we should have some special division that's going to be education, furthering education. That was unanimous. Everyone understood, yes. Because it's so, it's intrinsic and fundamental to everything. I'll share with you another piece of news from Mayapur. Just happened. The Temple of Vedic Planetarium. You've heard that term. Well, it's happening. After so many years after Prabhupada described that it should happen, it's happening. There were two obstacles. Well, yeah. The government of West Bengal is communist. And one of the things about communism is power to the people. So they have the communist government has a rule that for every charitable organization that owns property that is potentially agriculture in purpose, you can develop a maximum of 5 acres. And beyond that, you can't. You can't even own it. So we were trying to build this Temple of Vedic Planetarium over there, over there, over there, and different ways of doing it, and the government wasn't letting it happen. So finally we decided, let's just have it on that main campus. You know, where the lotus fountain is, and all that, where the gulab, the elephant was, and the animal park, and, you know, all that nice scenery. Just like pull all of that out and put the Temple of Vedic Planetarium in. So that was an internal decision, but then we had to get government approval for how many square feet and how high. They needed two kinds of variances from the communist government that never says yes. They always say no. Somehow or another, I'll leave it up to your imagination how the somehow or another happened, they said yes. And so $30 million of Ambarish's money is building the first half of the Temple of Vedic Planetarium. Imagine if you had the capacity to give $30 million. None of us. But Ambarish had, well, 25, and another 5 came from another family. A retired Bengali doctor. Dr. Bhattacharji. And 25 million from Ambarish. So this thing is going up like almost twice as fast as they had predicted. And one of the reasons is they allowed for the rainy season in Mayapur and the floods that of the Ganga coming in, and just like everything has to stop. So there was very little rain this year during rainy season and no flood. So they didn't lose one day of construction in the whole of the rainy season. And the thing is going up and up. During the 2 weeks that I was there, it's like you can see it growing. It's going so fast. They have this very sophisticated equipment, very expensive, but you know, they're building this huge thing with it's digitalized cement mixing. They only bought the finest quality of sand and the finest quality of cement and to precisely mix it according to the humidity of the day. Yes. And once they mix it, then they're running those machines for 72 hours to pour a whole floor. So it's like a lot, it was really noisy. I mean, I could go on and on, but it's happening. is happening so fast that they're going to have to start to do fundraising for the next phase because the superstructure is going to be done. The deities, that's the old, Radha Madhava and the Ashtasakis and these huge Panchatattva deities and Lord Nrsingadev, they're going to move in between 2.5 and 3 years. And for that to happen, they're going to need, already, they're going to need like another $5 million to start all the other stuff that has to happen. That they thought it would take like another year and a half, but it like, they're going to need it really soon. That's a nice problem. And so in the course of planning the what's going to be Mayapur, I mean, what's there now is the biggest place in the world at ISKCON, but when the Temple of Vedic Planetarium is built, it's going to be huge. So they have to have a master plan, right? I mean, sewage, for starters. Not for starters, but I mean, like, they have a sewage problem already, and when all this other, and housing, and education, and protection of the people, and parks, and all the whole infrastructure has to be planned. So, a decision was made by the entire GBC. One part of that infrastructure is to have a university. Because the Mayapur GBC has approved 6 acres for higher education. There's already like 4 schools in Mayapur. But higher education is, of course, adult education. But now, in addition to all of that, I know, 6 acres, you can do a lot with 6 acres. But in addition to that is a university. And there, because there's examples of Prabhupada when in Calcutta looking at different universities for models of what university he wanted to be in Mayapur. So it was clear that Prabhupada wanted it. So in principle, part of the master plan is going to have a university in Mayapur. Why? Because education is so important. If you want to, one of the principles that I have understood, I haven't read it in some Purana somewhere, but if you want to have a community, build a school and you'll get a community. And if you're going to have a community, you got to have a school. It's a, you know, this way or that way. Those places that don't have schools, they lose their population because they want to, parents with kids want to take their kids to school. There's a family in Gitanagari, really nice family from South Africa. They have 2 teenage girls, and they're doing tons of service in Gitanagari. They really like it there, but the whole family's going to move to Mayapur because there are schools in Mayapur. Education is really important. I mean, it's not just important for a certain group of people, like, you know, those that are smart. They need education. Education is for everyone. Education is for children. Education is for new devotees. Education is for experienced devotees. Education is for everyone. Higher spiritual education. We're, in one sense, we're an educational movement. I mean, through distributing Prabhupada's books, we're giving people an opportunity. We're a book distribution movement. But we're giving people an opportunity through distributing books to get a spiritual education, at least the beginning of a spiritual education. So when they begin reading the books, they want to come to the temple. But when they come to the temple, we should give them further spiritual education. And we, just like, I don't know his sannyas name, Brihat Madanga, now Swami, initiated. His giving his education once again on Vaishnava etiquette. He calls it something else, but it's Vaishnava etiquette. It's education. I mean, in one sense, we kind of basically know how we should conduct ourselves. But nonetheless, those fundamental principles, both by theory and by practice, it's so important. And by the efforts of Harishan family, you now have an additional facility for education. And that it will be dedicated for that purpose, fantastic. Anasaktasya Vishayan Yatkarvam Upanyunjitaha Nirbanda Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairagya Uchate. Big effort. This didn't come about by, you know, sitting around and thinking about it, sipping lemonade in a hammock or something. Some effort to make this manifest. But for such a purpose, very, very wonderful, fundamental, important purpose. So I'm sharing, what I'm attempting to do here is giving examples from the GBC perspective of how important education is being considered when we're planning the city of Mayapur. We have all these facilities for education because so many people are going to come there. And even within the temple of Vedic Planetarium itself, there's so many facilities for educating the public that come. It's so important. And now, similarly here in Guyana, here's a nice facility for education. And many different levels, not just newcomers' education, or many, many, many levels of education in principle. What's the goal of that education? The goal of that education is to become purified, freed from the tendency for distractions and sense gratification, and instead absorbed in becoming attached to Krishna and serving Krishna with pure hearts, with no motivation, with no ahoituki apratiyata yatma suprasidati, so that we can become suprasana, completely happy, completely satisfied. Or our strategic planning model for the GBC is more devotees and happier devotees. Suprasana. You have a nice facility that can educate and train the devotees, you'll have more devotees, you'll have happier devotees. So, I don't know how it happened exactly that you're having this event when I'm visiting, but I'm very pleased to be part of this dedication of this facility and the other facility, educational facility particularly, but something's got to fuel it. Many things in the process of education, it's problematic because they don't have the financial means to support it. So this has both the financial means to support it and it, at least the facility. Then the facility has to be used by y'all, as they say in Texas, y'all, by all of you, you know, the teachers and the students alike. It's for you. Please use it in Krishna's service. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So let's have some more kirtan for a little while.